This is Break the Case with Jennifer Coffendaffer. Inside the evidence, behind the headlines, from someone who's been there. Here now, Jennifer Coffendaffer.
True Crimers, welcome to Break the Case. I'm your host. I'm Jen Coffendaffer. I'm sorry for being a few minutes late. I was actually working on a case that we're going to present tonight on Cuomo, and it's regarding the terrible elderly abuse fraud type cases. And so I'm really excited about that because that's another area. It's like children, you know, the elderly should be protected at all costs. But nevertheless, I'm sorry for being a little late today. I wanted to come on because of everything flying around about the Celeste Rivas Hernandez case, Celeste Rivas, we'll call it, and David, D4VD. Again, for those of you who don't know the case, Celeste Rivas was found in the frunk, that means the front trunk area of his Tesla. And essentially, there's been no charges in the case. There's been no suspects named. And a lot of people have a lot of questions. And I keep seeing it flying around. My DMs keep getting lit up just on Twitter alone. The questions are just flying on different strings on the platform, on my platform. So I thought, okay, you know what? I need to go live and answer some of these questions. And I'm going to be looking at what you all have to say too. Well, I don't have my glasses anywhere close, so I'm going to have to really look close. Let me get you guys all up on the screen too so everybody can see all the questions y'all have. So first of all, I want to address the FBI. A lot of people are asking if the FBI is involved. First of all, I did look to see if the LAPD has responded in any way about that. I haven't seen anything where they say the FBI is involved. I haven't seen anything saying the FBI is involved. But a lot of people in social media are stirring up that the FBI is involved. Let me tell you why. And if somebody knows or had some hardcore fact that they're involved, I'm glad to hear it. But let me tell you why I don't think the FBI is involved. This is not Delphi, Indiana. This is not Moscow, Idaho. This is not, you know, a small town in any state in the U.S. This is Los Angeles. This is the Los Angeles Police Department. They have an extremely good and extremely competent forensic unit. They actually work on retrieving passwords that other people can't retrieve. They work on completely doing an analysis of cellular phones and of all digital electronics. You know, whether that be an iPad, whether that be a laptop, a computer of any sort, they will have the capability to handle any sort of forensic analysis. Is the FBI very good too? Absolutely. Is the Secret Service is very good as well. In fact, the Secret Service actually has some software that no one has but the Secret Service on in a particular area of analysis that they do. But I would say, you know, certainly the pinnacle. Okay, I'm biased. I'm former FBI, retired FBI. So I'm a little biased. I would say the best of the best unit is the Bureau. But they are limited in what they can do by several things. First of all, a department like the Los Angeles Police Department is not going to want to go to the FBI. They are going to want to keep that case, the case of Celeste Rivas and her murder, within their own department. They don't need any outside agency help because they are so big, so robust. They have so many resources. You know, when you're talking LA, when you're talking New York, Houston, Dallas, all these departments are very self-sustaining, and it's unusual. It's not unheard of, certainly. And we work very well, meaning the Bureau works very well with all these large departments. But I'm just saying, absent some very specific need, they are the most experienced in homicide investigations. They're going to be the most experienced in their area of jurisdiction. They're going to know a lot about it. Not that the agents that are assigned to Los Angeles know a lot too, but again, they handle that entire Metroplex. So they're going to handle all the cities surrounding LAPD or Los Angeles. The area of a Los Angeles agent is huge. And recall also, FBI agents are compartmentalized to particular crimes. Some squads work domestic terrorism, other counterterrorism, other violent crime. So there's all these different vast amount of squads that work very specific areas because the Bureau, unless you work what they call a resident agency assignment, where then you have to become a jack of all trades, because what happens in your little area, you have to investigate every single crime potentially that happens, no matter what kind of crime it is. But in Los Angeles, for those FBI agents that would be assigned there, they're going to be very specific to a very specific area. So this is why I believe in large part that there is no way, no reason for the FBI to be involved. If they were involved, it would be through what we call a case that is called police corruption. That's literally what it says on the jacket. It's literally the numerical designation that we have for a case. It's called a police cooperation case. What does that mean? It means that you've predicated a reason to your supervisor why you think this should be opened. And typically it's because that police force has come to you. The Bureau doesn't go to somebody and ask for help. They would be asked for help from their particular department, would have said, listen, we don't have the manpower, we don't have the resources, we don't have the knowledge to conduct this investigation, we need your help. The chances of that happening in this case, I think, are extremely slim. It would have to be for a very specific reason, very, very specific. And that even a case like that would be open. And if a case like that would be opened, it would be very focused for that FBI office to offer the resources or what was asked for by the LAPD. So for this reason, unless somebody's telling me otherwise, I don't think there's any way the LAPD has asked out in this way. So do I think the FBI is running this investigation? Absolutely not. Are they in charge of this investigation? Absolutely not. Are they assisting in any way? Very small possibility, as I said, only if it's something that literally the Los Angeles Police Department believes they cannot do. Like they just don't have the software or they don't have the expertise. That would be the only way. And to me, the only possibility would be in forensics, the evaluation of all of these electronics. Again, I would find that pretty remote. Remember, most of these departments go to the FBI for their training. They send their forensic analyst folks back to Quantico or to particular training programs for that purpose. So they're going to likely be FBI trained, if you will, the people working in Los Angeles. So anyway, for all those rumors and all those people speculating that, that's my take on that. Again, I want to touch on just a couple of things. Celeste Rivas, it's come out a lot. Yes, she was known to run away. She's run away several times, went back home. I think many of us, and I've covered this in another live, we've actually seen her back home, you know, in a fight with a neighbor, screaming when she was reported missing. So we know that she kind of went missing, but would kind of be back and forth. We know when she was missing, she was seen with David, D4VD. This isn't difficult, other than the one that TMZ initially came out with and said was her at a concert. That has been debunked. It was debunked within about 12 hours because that person came forward and said, no, this is me. Other than that, we have seen so many recordings, videos, lives, streams, you know, of them together. So it's no secret that when she was quote unquote missing, she was actually missing in plain sight. She was around. So there's a lot going around on social media about that. That's all pretty accurate. You would have to look at the particular sightings, but I can tell you if you go on Twitter or certainly if you check my platform, I've posted all of the ones that are accurate, and the ones that aren't, I've posted why they are or are not accurate. So again, lots of sightings of them together. This is just, I wanted to post a picture of David. That's him. This is her. Because there's a lot of other pictures going around, and I just want to make it clear what they look like. For those of you who don't know, Celeste Rivas was laid to rest. Her remains were laid to rest this week. I believe it was on the 6th. And, you know, there was a service for her. And, you know, it's just a sad situation. This whole case, in my opinion, because there's zero answers. There was a lot made out of, and I posted it too, because I think it's very important to note that David D4VD has not been named a suspect. And that's really important to know. He has not been named a suspect, nor has it been said that he is, you know, he's not on their list of not being considered as a suspect. In other words, he's not been, you know, on the list of non-consideration. He's very much considered. I still think they're very much looking at him, but they haven't officially named him. Why? This is very important too. This comes down to really one big issue, and that is until a forensic anthropologist or somebody who really a forensic anthropologist, it comes down to that, or an ME that is very much trained in that area of, they might not be an actual forensic anthropologist, but they're trained and have worked in the area of identifying causes of death with bodies that are in the condition that Celeste's body was in. We aren't going to know what happened to her. And that's a big problem, because how can you charge a, they've already designated this a homicide, but how can you say it's an actual murder if you don't know the cause? Was it strangulation? Was it blunt force trauma? Was it a stabbing? Was it a gunshot wound? What happened to Celeste? They have not been able to discern that. And that's a really, really a big problem. Until they can determine a cause of death, I think it's going to be very difficult for anyone to have real answers about that piece of it. But what they should be able to have answers about is this. She was found in the frunk. This is the frunk. And I call it the frunk, and I brought this other picture up I wanted to show you. This is what a trunk looks like. It's big. You conceal a body. You conceal more than one body. But in this frunk, and I tried to show everybody here, this is our Tesla. We have a Model Y. He has a Model X. The difference of room there is literally 2 cubic feet, which is nothing. You could fit golf clubs in the new frunk. They made it long enough now to fit golf clubs in. It's shallow. It's not wide. And I am the same, more or less. I might be even smaller, actually, than Celeste Rivas, weight-wise. But we're the same height. I'm about 5'1.5", and Celeste, they said, was about 5'1". And I think we probably weigh about the same. When her body was recovered, it weighed 71 pounds, about 71 pounds, everyone. This is the actual picture here, and I'm not sure how it's coming off on your screen. You can see it's in a bag. I did this whole, you know, because this is what I do. If I'm trying to figure out, can a body fit in, and I have that body and I have that trunk, I'm going to see if it's possible. She was in this bag. You could see it's a large, like long leaf trash bag. I had my husband try to squeeze me in a large long leaf trash bag. He was sort of able to get me in there. It's so slippery. Very difficult to hold, very awkward. Dead weight is just very, very difficult to manipulate. So essentially, It was impossible to put me in that frunk, either without me being in a bag or with me being in a bag. So how can she fit into this? Well, I believe, and the initial reports, which I've showed many, many times, the initial report says she, Celeste Rivas, was dismembered. And that makes sense to me that she would be dismembered, because I don't know how else she could have possibly fit in this frunk area. So that's the situation with the dismemberment. Have I seen it other than the initial reports? The initial reports talked about it. It was her head and her torso that were in the trunk. And then they also said, obviously, her index finger was there, because the shush on her right index finger with three dots. So, and that's what made it unique, right? I understand that Lindsay Lohan, she has the shush tattoo. So does, I believe it is Riata. They also have that, but this has the three dots after. And that's just one area that shows the connection between David and Celeste. What a big piece of news that I think came out this week is that David has property in Texas, and purportedly he has transferred the title and deeds of those properties in the name of his mother. I find this extremely significant. I actually find it very significant, everything he's done. He canceled his entire tour schedule. I think that is very odd. It doesn't make sense to me that if you have absolutely nothing to hide, you were out of town when whatever happened to Celeste happened, you're not in control of your car because you leave things behind. He was touring a lot. I've posted his schedule numerous times. This guy was a busy dude. He was barely around in Los Angeles in August. He had an extremely busy tour schedule. In fact, he was in concert the night they found her body. I remember watching snippets, I believe, of that concert that exact time. So, you know, he's a busy guy. And so for him to cancel everything, I think is really big. Because remember, according to everything we know, back in August was the date of a ticket on that vehicle that it was abandoned. You know, she was found in September. So, you know, in other words, as I've always said, and I've said it several times here, wouldn't you notice your $100,000 Tesla missing? And if you're not going to notice this, would you notice that a girl you've been involved with is missing? You know, just very odd behavior. Then you cancel everything. He canceled literally every concert here, and he canceled every concert in Europe. That is big bucks, people. Likely millions. I don't know. Let me not speculate on things I don't understand, but it's a lot of money on those tour dates. And he just stopped cold. I find that very interesting. Most people, even when they're guilty, sort of carry on with their lives. Even when they're not guilty, and certainly those people, when they're guilty, they take a powder typically. And he has really taken a powder. He moved out of his mansion. He hasn't, as far as I know, been seen in public. He hasn't given a public statement, except for through his spokesman, who said early on he was cooperating. He's acted, in my opinion, he's acted guilty. That's my opinion. Maybe he's just feeling guilty about having a relationship with a young girl. Again, as I've said before, unless they have video, unless they have photographic evidence, unless they have text messages or written information regarding a sexual relationship, that's going to be very, very hard to prove in a court of law. So where does that leave law enforcement? That leaves law enforcement with saying, at this point, I don't know the cause of death. I don't have, if they don't, any information, photographic, video, or otherwise, that they had a sexual relationship. So I can't take him in on those charges. I mean, they could just be good friends. I'm not saying I buy it. I'm saying what they have to prove beyond a reasonable doubt in a court of law. They don't have that, in my opinion, to prove their sexual relationship. And then number three, you have, you know, desecration of a body, hiding a body. These are separate charges. You can't do to a body what was done to Celeste, meaning, you know, put her in a trunk. Even if she wasn't dismembered, you can't put a body in a trunk. It's illegal. So who did that? Why aren't we seeing charges against who did that? The Tesla is a computer on wheels. This thing can do so many things. But as I've explained, you can disable a lot of the functions of a Tesla, including their, it's called Sentry, C-E-N-T-R-Y mode on your computer screen to take down a lot of the functionality. So I don't even know what was actually functioning at the time that she was put in that frunk. Certainly, if those cameras were working and Sentry mode was up and going, certainly it would have captured that. But was the person all in black? You know, black mask, black over their hair, full body outfit. Were they in a situation where they would be unrecognizable? Especially if they didn't have big furry eyebrows. In any event, that's where law enforcement is left. And that's why I think nothing has happened at this point. What I really fear is that this case will just go away like so many other murder cases. I posted today about a 20-year-old murder case, fully identified. It was a homicide. She was murdered. She was left on the side of a road. There's so many cases, even though we talk about a lot of cases that have been solved, there's so many cases that never, ever get solved. And this would be just a crying shame if nothing is ever done on this case. I feel terrible because I do not have my glasses and I really want to look at what you all have to say. I want to leave up this photo of Celeste in the frunk, just for you guys to take a look at while I run off and grab my glasses real quick. Take one. Okay, I'm back. Took less than 1 second. All right. Let me look. I really want to see what you all have to say here. So I'm going to go back through your comments. Let's see. People are just again asking about the house. Listen, this car, this is his car. Okay, this is me in mine. Okay, I have a white one. This is the actual footage, and I have so much footage. I put it up on my Twitter of the actual vehicle and the bag, this black garbage bag. You could see this little teeny area compared to a real trunk. So I just don't want people to get confused about this little area basically holds golf clubs. Have the shortest person you know stand up to a set of golf clubs. And recall, too, there's things like rigor. In other words, where the body stiffens up. So it's very difficult and heavy to manipulate a body. Yes, she is still inside this bag in this photo. And it is so sad. Even I'll tell you, doing that demonstration about how difficult it is even is to get somebody 5'1 in a huge, gigantic garbage bag. And I was cooperating. I was trying to crunch up. I was trying to move my head down. She would obviously have not been doing that because she would have been deceased. So she would have been stiffer and it would have been very difficult to manipulate her. Yes, it's horrible because even just say she wasn't dismembered, they would have had to completely break down this body to be the size of golf clubs. And that's the size of what would fit in this trunk. Let me see. You know, the bag is hanging out because this is a picture of sort of law enforcement is kind of manipulating the bag. And this was just the picture taken. I've got the pictures from the yard, the actual yard that the car was towed to. Recall it was towed there and it took over 2 days for anybody to really smell the stench of a dead body and finally call police and say, listen, this car stinks, which I have always found it interesting that this vehicle was on this road very near David's house in a residential area. And I have always been shocked that the time frame it was there, that there would not have been more people realize. I do want to make it clear. And again, I post a lot of this on my Twitter so you can see some of these photos, but the photo was in sort of a circuitous area, meaning it was not in the most readily visible area. It was certainly on a roadway. It was certainly visible. I mean, everybody was angry. It was there. He was paying $20,000 a month, everyone, 1 month for his house rent. This was like a mansion. It was a mansion. Very nice. I post a lot of pictures on it. I wish I had more here to post. We're limited. And without me going back and forth and grabbing them, I'm limited what I can pull up on this. You're limited to only 10 photos. But nevertheless, this is the photo. It's from that lot. You can see when they open the frunk, you could see the people around, and then you could see this. And this was the closest up. So I made a little bit more narrow than if I would have, you would see people and everything. So you could see this. This is a gigantic, gigantic lawn bag. The reason it looks out of proportion, for those of you asking, this is a real trunk. You see how big a body looks. So that trash bag looks big and oversized, looks oversized, but it's because that frunk is so small. Like I said, here, our car is almost the exact same dimensions. Literally, it's, give 6 inches this way, 6 this way, 6 this way, and 6 this way. It's almost the exact same size. In the actual, he had, I believe, the X version, and that version could fit golf clubs. That's it. If you look at the front, just the golf clubs can go in there. And that's why I think they modified it probably to make sure that golf clubs could fit. But there's still no way for a human to fit. But that's why you see that trash bag, how they have it. I'm going to go back to this one. You'll see how that trash bag is sort of, not fitting because it's not the correct size for a trunk. And whoever wrote in there how horrible her suffering. I'm telling you, just being in that trash bag, I know she wasn't in there alive and I was in there alive, but horrible to think of what they did to that body and to crush it down in there in that front trunk area of that Tesla. Just horrible what they did to her. You guys, I'm going to continue to cover this again. Just to recap, I do not believe the FBI is involved. Only because I think the Los Angeles Police Department has the resources, manpower, expertise, and forensic technology that they need to do what they need to do to obtain evidence from the phones and from the devices. Okay, that's number one. Number two, I do believe she was likely dismembered, because there's no other logical way I can figure out for her to fit in this trunk. I'm going to digress one moment and let you know a real case where I did something very similar, for those who might think it was odd that I would try to do a demonstration with this. I had a case. It was a 6-year-old missing child and autistic child. And they had a room. This house was one of the worst houses I've ever been in. There were only mattresses. There were rats, cats, feces. It was one of the worst places I've been in. Probably one of the worst places I've been in. I've been in a lot of bad ones. The gang houses were also truly bad. But this one was one of the worst I've seen. And this child, they actually, because this was a child that liked to wander, they called them elopers, those who have autism. They actually had all the windows boarded up because he had eloped so often. And this was an actual, loving mom and loving family. He had brothers. They were just so, I guess, beyond dirt poor. But I agree with you. Many people who are dirt poor are extremely clean. That was not the situation. It was horrible. In any event, they had thought that he had gotten through one of the windows that had these crossboards. It was pretty much boarded up. And because the mother had said that the door was locked and there was no way he could have gotten out. Well, when I was in his room, and he was only six, you know, he was only about 4 feet tall. I tried to jump up onto that windowsill, go through this little teeny area where it was kind of boards were like this. And then, you know, I looked what it would be to jump down. Well, there was a huge fire ant pile right below the window. It was gigantic and it was completely undisturbed, completely undisturbed. So there was no way, A, this child could jump up on this windowsill. It was a way high up window. Number two, there was no way he could fit through the wood that they had like this. And number three, there was no signs that he had done that because the fire ant pile was in perfect shape. So my point to all of this is it's very important and crucial in any investigation, and all of us do it that have ever done investigations, is to take a common sense approach and say, is this even possible? And I truly don't believe it was possible for her to fit in this frunk in a full body form. And that makes sense with the initial investigative information that came out. I posted it all on Twitter from the information to the local networks. And that's always usually the best information initially, is look at the local, I think it's KTLA, I believe, is the station that's kind of been my go-to early on. I believe that was the name of the station. And they were great because they had so much information. And they continue to have good information. But now a lot of networks do. Obviously, News Nation is who I really go to because I know that they are very concerned about making sure the information that they put out there is true and accurate. All right. I think that is about it, everyone. I just wanted to touch on these main points. I will continue to follow Celeste Rivas's case. Look, Celeste, she deserves that. Very troubling situation with all the running away. And for everybody who was able to join in tonight, I really appreciate it. It's a Friday night. And I know people have a lot going on. Date nights, probably football. It's Friday Night Lights normally for us, but unfortunately, there's a huge storm where we're at. And so everything was canceled, including football. You know, it's serious when that happens. So everything's been canceled. It was also today and through the weekend, had a huge tennis tournament that I play in. I play in two tournaments for charity. One tournament is for abused and battered women for a shelter. Specifically. And the other one is for breast cancer. My mother who raised me, I'm adopted, as many of you know, the mother who raised me, she passed away right when my daughter was born. She was only 62 years old. And she actually died of lung cancer. But I'm sensitive to cancer. And then my mother, who's my biological mother, who I later found when I was 27, went in search of both my mother and my father, biologicals. And she had breast cancer and had several lumpectomies. She's completely clean and doing great, in her 80s now. And then my sister also, she was adopted. I was adopted. She also has had breast cancer. So one with lung cancer, different, and then two with breast cancer. So breast cancer is a really important, cancer really of all nature is important, I think, from a charity aspect. But our tennis tournament got rained out. They're going to try to do it tomorrow. I doubt if it's going to happen. So I'm really bummed about that. But anyway, for the rest of you who are enjoying beautiful weather, wherever you're at, and with this great weekend ahead, thank you so much for joining on Break the Case. If you liked it, subscribe, become a member. It's $1.99. We put out different episodes that we don't put out to everyone else. And so hopefully maybe you might join our community. And tonight, if you're around Chris Cuomo, we're going to be talking about elderly abuse, a very specific case, and kind of what's going on with people taking advantage of elderly people. Until next time, everyone, thank you for being here, and may justice be served.
Want to break the case with Jennifer Coffendaffer even more? Then press subscribe right now and join Jen on YouTube. Just search Break the Case with Jennifer Coffendaffer now.